Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus who came down to earth at Christmas. We thank you for what he achieved. And Father, we gladly give him our worship and we pray that we would exalt him and delight in him even during this short time tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight is our last Dig Deeper of 2020. Next week, on the Sunday evening, we'll have a Zoom prayer meeting at 6:15 p.m. for everybody that can join us. And then we'll have a two-week break before we start again in 2021. And I wanted to finish the year on a high point. So we are digging deeper into Joseph. We looked at him yesterday as part of our Sunday sermon. And yesterday we pointed out that Joseph was a great guy. He did the right thing, even though it hurt. He was responsive and turned from his plans and he went God's way instead. And also he thought about the well-being of his family above his own convenience. But having said all that, Joseph needed a saviour. The angel told Joseph to call Mary's son Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And tonight, as we dig deeper into this, we're going to think a little bit more specifically about Old Testament believers and the basis of their salvation. And this is really a high point because it highlights just what a wonderful gift is Jesus, our Redeemer. There is a great scene at the beginning of one of the excellent Christianity Explored episodes. And in the scene, there is a Christmas tree and there's Christmas presents all around the tree. It's beautifully decorated, this room, all very picturesque. And there's a young girl, obviously the daughter of a couple who has stood at the side of the room, and she is opening a present. And she opens the present. I can't even remember what's there. You may not even see it. And she sighs. She looks across at her parents and she says, "How much do I owe you?" And the parents sort of look at each other a little bit confused. Can you imagine if that's how Christmas worked? You receive a gift. After you opened it, there is a price tag attached and you have to pay the person who's given you the gift. Wouldn't that give Christmas a whole different dynamic? People may be even more generous than they currently are. It would be awful, wouldn't it? Christmas would not be a time that you looked forward to. I mean, perhaps you spend too much on people anyway, but that's voluntary. This would mean Christmas, you would dread it because you would just be waiting to see how much it was going to cost you in the aftermath as you started to pay everyone for all the presents they had given you. Let's make the point right at the beginning and then seek to set out to prove it. This is the big point of what we're digging into tonight. Salvation is a free gift for the recipient. The person who receives salvation receives that for free. The recipient of salvation does not pay God to receive it, nor do they pay God back once they have it. Our eternal happiness and security is a free gift, completely, absolutely. And tonight, what we're going to see is every person who is part of God's kingdom entered God's kingdom because of God's goodness. Entrance into the kingdom was a free gift. This is true for new covenant believers, that is, people like us who live this side of Jesus' earthly ministry. But it's also true for old covenant believers, that is, people who live before Jesus' earthly ministry. Let me put it differently. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. That is true for everyone. So let me pick one person from the Old Testament at random. Isaiah, for example, receives salvation by grace through faith, just like you and I, if you and I are in Christ. Why will you and I enjoy eternal life? We will enjoy it, that is, if you're in Christ. We will enjoy it, I will enjoy it, because Jesus purchased eternal life with his blood, and we receive it by faith. Why will Jeremiah say, enjoy eternal life? Because he kept the law? No, because Jesus purchased eternal life for Jeremiah with his blood. Why will Joseph, the husband of Mary, enjoy eternal life? Because he was a righteous man through his law keeping? No, because Jesus purchased eternal life for Joseph with his blood. Now, I've said that, you probably already know that. That doesn't make it true. We need to see this in the Bible. So please turn to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. Romans chapter 4, begin to read at verse 1 down to verse 8. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Amen. Amazing words from Paul's pen, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul, in this section in Romans, is discussing that all are unrighteous in God's sight. Everyone is. Everyone is unrighteous. And righteousness is given to them. It comes to unrighteous people through faith in Jesus. This righteousness is a gift and is nothing to do with law keeping, by obeying God, other than the obedience of faith. I'm sure you could probably think of a potential objection or thought that's going through a person's mind. So as you're reading the gospel to the church in Rome, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, you might want to object. Well, Paul is obviously talking about something that's true now. Somebody who's heard the gospel. This is God's new way of doing things. God now saves people in this way, although previously he saved people through law observance. To correct that wrong assumption or that objection to what Paul is saying, Paul looks back into the Old Testament and takes two Old Testament giants, the father of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, Abraham, and the most famous king, David. And he sets out to prove that both Abraham and David were justified by faith. So please pause the recording, look over verses 1 to 3 again, and think about the question, how was Abraham made righteous? According to verses 1 to 3, how was Abraham made righteous? Good. Okay, so hopefully you've seen in those verses for yourself that Abraham was not made righteous by works. Instead, God has spoken to Abraham. Abraham believed what God has said, and Abraham was made righteousness. He had no righteousness. He believed God. He was given righteousness. We have some little things that we memorize with the young people, with the children, And one of them is all to do with how Abraham was made righteous, and we memorized that Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. And that's the truth of it. It's something that we should all remember, all memorize, that Abraham's right standing with God was a gift. Now look at verses 4 and 5. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Do you see the heart of the gospel here in Romans 4? They are incredible words. God who justifies the wicked. It's God's doing. Now, when a man works, they receive a wage. You do so many hours. I remember when I was younger, I worked on my uncle's farm and I had to keep a track of the number of hours I worked there. And I would hand him a slip of paper with the number of hours I'd worked. And then he would pay me. I would get a wage for those number of hours. Before we come to serve Christ, we serve sin. And sin pays us a wage. And that wage is death. People who think they can serve God and he will pay them the wage of eternal life are sadly mistaken, because it is a gift. A true believer trusts God and is given righteousness. Now, of course, Paul is talking about Abraham in the Old Testament at this point. It's Abraham who believed the Lord. He didn't get given a wage. He believed the Lord and was given righteousness, saved by faith in what God had said. Someone might object again and say, well, this was Abraham, and Abraham, of course, was alive before the law was given. He couldn't obey the law, so obviously Abraham is an exceptional case. Well, Paul then turns his attention to David, and David certainly was born after the law was given. And this is how David understood the way a person is made right with God. Please, please, just soak this in. It's such good stuff. Verses 7 and 8. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Please pause the recording, look at verses 7 and 8, chew them over, and just think about what happens to a believer's sin. What happens to a believer's sin? Verses 7 and 8. Think about that for a few moments. Okay, hopefully you've paused the recording and now unpaused it again, and you have looked at verses 7 and 8 and you've seen that a believer's sin is forgiven, is covered, and their sins are never counted against them. Notice it's not that a believer's sin is paid back, is buried by themselves, or is outweighed by the good things they've done. No, these are the things that have happened to their sin. They are forgiven, covered, not counted against him. So if you forgive somebody, I mean, these are all things God has done. If you forgive somebody, it's the age-old illustration. Imagine I smash your window. And I come and I own up and I say, listen, I was foolishly playing cricket outside the front of your house and I put a cricket ball through your window. Will you please forgive me? If you say, yes, Michael, you are totally forgiven. Here's the bill and you owe me £100 to get the window fixed, however much it is. That is not forgiveness, is it? To forgive someone means I will incur the cost of getting the window fixed. Old Testament believers did not pay the debt for their sin through slaughtering animals. The blood of bulls and goats can never atone for sin. Those sacrifices were a pointer, a reminder that sin is expensive. For it to be covered, it demands death. Someone's blood needs to be shed for forgiveness to take place, and that someone is Jesus. All those sacrifices, when they were offered by faith, were not paying off God to gain forgiveness. They were instead taking God at his word, trusting that one day God would pay the debt, that one day God would deal with their sin. Forgiven. Also, we're told sins are covered. It's God who does the covering. He has hidden them from his own sight, covered by the blood of Jesus. Never counted against him. Who's doing that? Who's not doing the counting? The Lord will never count against him. This is the Lord doing. He's no longer got a tally saying, okay, that's another instance of blaspheme. That's another instance of not loving the neighbor. It's another instance of not loving me with all heart, soul, and strength. No, God is not counting a believer's sin against them. So these things are in the Old Testament. And the covering, the forgiving, the Lord not counting, they are something that God has done for people who take him at his word. So look at verse 6. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So Joseph, David, Abraham, you and I are saved by God. It is his gift received by faith, which means we are all equal. Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, we have no reason to boast. If David was saved by being a great king, by killing so many Philistines, by his writing of the Psalms or law observance, he would have some bragging rights. But David is not saved in that way. We are all saved because of God's generosity. He gives us the gift of salvation. Such a great thing to ponder. If you trust God, and of course we know the full gospel now, unlike Old Testament believers, we know that it was Jesus' death on the cross that deals with our sin. When we know that and we trust in Jesus, we can be confident that all our sins are forgiven, covered, that God is not counting them against us. Perhaps one closing thought as we wrap up digging deeper, a high point to end on, one closing thought is just to reflect on the fact that maybe Satan keeps reminding you about a particular sin in your life, maybe something from the past. He keeps throwing it up at you. It plagues your conscience and you feel pretty dirty about it. Well, you need to believe the good news of Romans 4, and especially verses 7 to 8, which are remarkable, or even that wonderful verse 5, reminder that it's God who justifies the wicked. We need to believe this good news by faith, confess our sin to God, and when we've confessed our sin to God, we must now believe by faith that that sin, our sin, is forgiven, it's covered. God is not counting it against you, not because of you or anything you've done or deserved or earned or anything you're going to do, but entirely because of God's generous nature. Trust God, believe the good news, and live in the freedom of a clear conscience before God, knowing that you are precious in his sight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what we've seen in Dig Deeper just over the last few weeks. And thank you for this wonderful place that we're ending the year, being reminded of your generosity in forgiving our sins and giving us your righteousness as a free gift. So often we revert back to, we need to earn it, we need to pay you back, we need to deserve it. Help us by faith to believe that we are right in your sight entirely because of who you are and not because of what we are or what we have done or will do. Help us to rest in the joy of sins forgiven, in the wonder of the gospel. And in this, may we exalt Jesus, who is a great and worthy Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio recording. If you have any questions or would like to discuss anything further, please simply reply to this email.